One of the problems with Voracious is that it's completely overwhelming to try to study it properly, because there's just so many issues and so many things going on in it. And it's the sort of parsha that one can obviously spend a whole year studying. So we only have a little bit of time. What I wanted to start with is a medrash. The medrash, which is on the top of your source sheets, number one, the medrash makes reference to the second day of creation. It says, Lama ein ktiv b'sheni ki tov. On the second day of creation, it doesn't say ki tov, it doesn't say it was good. Rabbi Yochanan taught, in the name of Rabbi Yossi, ben Rav Chalifta, Shabo nivret gehinam, that Gehenim, hell, was created on the second day. Shenamar ke'aroch me'etmol tifta, yom sheyesh bo etmol ve'ein bo shilshom. As interesting as this teaching of Rav Yochanan, in the name of Rav Yossi ben Chalifta is, we're going to leave it. I want to see the second teaching. Rabbi Chanina says, the reason why it doesn't say Kitov on the second day, Shabo nivret machloket, shenemar, v'yihi mavdil ben mayim l'moyim. That the reason that it doesn't say Kitov on the second day is because machloket, or arguments, were created on that day. Why? Because it says, and God separated, God distinguished between the water and the water, between the upper waters and the lower waters. So what it seems to be, that we're being taught that the reason that machloket begins, that arguments, dissent begins, is because a distinguishing factor takes place. God is mavdil bin mayim l'mayim. Now if you think about it, and if you want, as I talk, you can look in source number two, which you should all be familiar with, Bereshit bara Elokim et hashamayim ve'et haaretz, v'aretz hayta tov v'vo, v'chol shech al pnei tahom, v'ruach Elokim merachefet al pnei hamayim, v'yomer Elokim yihi or v'yihi or. Vayar Elokim et haor ki tov, v'yavdei Elokim bein haor uvein hachoshech. That we see on the first day already that God did a havdalah, that God made a distinguishing act. He distinguished between light and darkness. So if the first havdalah takes place on the first day, then why does the Medrash come and tell us that machlokas, the power for machlokas, the power for being argued, the power for differences in the world, doesn't begin till the second day? I have a very simple answer for this. I have a deeper answer for it. I'm going to say the simple one first. I don't think we'll get into the deeper one today. The simple one is, and they're not contradictory, it's the same answer, but it goes further. The simple answer is that the power for machloket begins when you have two things that ostensibly are the same and you distinguish between the two of them. When you have two things that are completely independent of one another, and you make a distinguishing, light and darkness, then there's no argument. Each one clearly knows what its realm is. Each one clearly knows what its place is. The light is not going to fight with the dark. The dark is not going to fight with the light. But on the other hand, when God distinguishes between mayim and mayim, that's where the power for dissent begins. That, I think, is the simple understanding of this medrash. The deeper understanding is that God creates the water on this day, while light may not have been created, which is based upon a pasuk in Yeshayahu, that light was merely formed. In Perek Mem Hei in Yeshayahu, which we're all familiar with from our davening, where it says Yotzer Or Uvori Choshech, that light is the difference between Yetzira and Bria. Yetzira means that something is being formed. To be formed means that it pre-existed. Bria means to be created, means that it didn't exist before. That means that light existed. When God created, what's light? Yotzer or v'orei choshech. Osa shalom uvorei. I know you think it says esakol, and Yeshayahu doesn't say esakol. It says ra, that God creates evil. That's the reason I want to go into this now, because it's a whole separate topic. What is the nature of evil or for them, and what's the nature of darkness? What we see from the source, at least, is that light is not created. Light is formed. Or if I'll use a more specific term in English, I would say that light is being refracted from the supernal light of God. Light is being refracted, bifracted, or diffracted, but it comes from the source of God, who's complete light. There is light. When God creates the world, darkness comes into the world. A concept of darkness gets created because prior to creation, there is no darkness. Darkness needs to be created. But prior to creation, there is light, because what's light? Light comes from God. So therefore, what happens by creation is that now there is a realm where God potentially can't be felt. That's the aftermath of creation. That's this concept of Tzimtzum that we talked a little about. But as I said, without getting into the depth of that idea, at least at this point, what we see is a very simple idea. That the Medrash wants to tell us that the power for argument begins when there's distinction between two things that look the same, yet nonetheless there are different realms between the two. I think that this introduction can now help us shed light on one of the most tragic events in the early parts of Bereishis. And what I'm referring to is the fateful discussion and eventually murder which takes place between Cain and Hevel. What was it that caused Cain to kill Hevel? Why was there such bad blood between the two? And eventually, what are the implications or the ramifications of this fratricide? Let's go to the section about Cain and Hevel. Let's read it. There's lots of problems in the text. I'll point out the problems. Hopefully, we'll be able to answer at least some of them, maybe most of them. Source 3. This is immediately after they're expelled from the garden. The Ha'adam Yoda et Chava Ishto, and Adam knew his wife Eve. Of course, the word knew over here is very interesting. Why? Because the word Yada, it reminds us of what just now happened with the Eitz Hadan. Vatahar Vateled et Kayin, Vatomer Kaniti Ish et Hashem. Who names him? Let me translate. She becomes pregnant. She gives birth to Cain. And she says, Kaniti Ish et Hashem. Very strange term. First thing which is interesting is that she's the one who gives the name. Adam seems to be an absentee father. Now, I'm not going to go so far into that or draw conclusions, because you're going to find throughout the book of Bereishit, more often than not, the mother gives the name and not the father. More often than not. It's not the only case. On the other hand, we don't hear a word about Adam at this point, which is interesting. But what's more interesting, though, is there is a lack of symmetry between the two sons. The first son, it says that she gave birth to Cain. Shouldn't it say she gave birth to a son and she called him Cain? And then give the reason for calling Cain. And it continues. Vatosef laledet, she continued to give birth. The word vatosef is a little strange. She should say, and she had another son. Vatosef laledet, she continued to give birth. Possibility they were twins. Et achiv, his brother, which is also interesting. How he's identified from the beginning? As a brother. That's the first thing we know about him. Et havel. Vayihi hevel roetzon, v'kain hoya oved adamah. See the lack of symmetry? It didn't tell us who named him. It didn't tell us why he was named. All that it says is, she gave birth to Cain, and she called him Cain because of this enigmatic phrase, because Kaniti Ish et Hashem. And then it says, and she continued to give birth to his brother, to Hevel. And Hevel was a roed son, was a shepherd, and Cain worked the ground. And there's no connection between the first part of the Pasuk and the second part of the Pasuk. I mean, one would assume that, you know, a number of years took place in between and there was development. It doesn't tell us that. It just says, Hevel, how's he identified? As Cain's brother. That's how the text identifies us. Where did he get his name from? We don't know. What does his name mean? What does Hevel mean? Nothing. Yeah, nothing. It's as if Hevel is coming into this whole thing, seen as almost as a lack of identity. Think about Cain for a moment. What did that name mean when she said, Kaniti Ish? Right? It's Hashem. That she feels that she's acquired a relationship with God. What's the underlying issue here? How does God create the world? What's the answer? How does God create? And I'm not asking for a formula right now. Or a recipe. No? He speaks. The world is created by speech. The Mishnah in Pirkei Avos tells us that there were 10 deliberate statements which God makes, which brings the world into creation. That means that speech creates the world. What's the significance of speech then? God could surely have snapped his finger and the world would have been here. God could have snapped his finger once and everything could have appeared. Nonetheless, God spoke deliberately 10 times, created in stages. When the Pasuk tells us that Adam was created in the image of God, the Targum, you know how it defines the image of God? It says that, and it says he got the soul from God. It says he received the Ruach Milalala, which means in English, the ability to speak. The image of God that man possesses, according to the Targum, is the ability to speak. I mean, think of it. What is it that distinguishes us from all the other animals? Ability to speak. And if you'd be willing to consider this now, I would assume that animals also have an ability to think. Perhaps we would argue the ability to think is not on the same level that our ability to think is. But the main thing is this ability to conceptualize, but via speech, is what we have which the animals don't possess. I'm not suggesting someone who's mute is not in the image of God. What I'm suggesting is that humanity's ability to rise above the animals is their ability to speak. You would have thought that it was thought. And then we look and we find that the Targum is stressing, no, the Ruach Malala, the ability to speak. And if you want now, God, the Creator with a capital C, has created through the 6 days of creation via speech. Adam, before Eve comes along, before we have anything but Eve, it says that Adam is giving names to each of the animals. That means Adam is using, now if you want to say thought, but he is giving names to Adam, he's conceptualizing, he's speaking, and by speaking he's creating categories. That's the basis of scientific endeavor, is to categorize. Which means you have God, capital, created with a capital C, man, created with a small c, the two of them in the Garden of Eden, absolute bliss. The one problem is that Adam is all alone. And that's when Eve comes along. All of his scientific endeavor of naming all the animals doesn't satisfy him at all. And that's why God puts him to sleep and brings him in touch with Eve, which is interesting because according to the Medrash, Eve was alive all the time. They were connected. You know the Medrash. They were connected by the back to one another. Each of them were living and speaking, but just unaware that there was anyone else there. Absolute existential, crisis. They're walking around, no one else, not aware of anybody else. And then what God does is he separates them and introduces them to one another. Hey, look, there's another person. And then when it says that they join together, become of one flesh, what it is meeting together, coming together with the other half of yourself. That's like the concept of a soulmate. Maybe we'll get back to this as well at a later point in the year. But that's what we see, this beautiful day, sun shining, Garden of Eden, everything is great. Man creating with speech, God creating with speech. But then, of course, everything went wrong. And then a little bite of a little apple, a little snake. And the rest is history, as they say. And they're kicked out of the Garden of Eden. And you have the Garden of Eden is there being protected that no one's going to re-enter it. And that's exactly when we enter into this episode. Which means that man has misused their speech, which is interesting. God doesn't seem to be so upset with Adam for eating the tree. He says to him, like as if he's invited him to say something. He doesn't come and say, why do you eat from the trees? What's going on, Adam? It's also interesting that the concept of tshuva, the Gemara, the Rambam stresses, is with speech. Vidui is with speech. Eve, Chava, when she gives birth, giving birth is a wonderfully creative process. She seems to be, by giving birth, reconnecting with God again. She feels like she's creating, and she's doing something positive. And what does she name him? She names him Cain. Why? What does the pasuk say? Kiniti ish me'ashem, which means that she feels that she's acquiring a relationship with God by virtue of creating this child. And this is one of the sources that says when a child is born, there are three partners. There is man, woman, and God. But she feels that she is being part of some sort of a divine plan by giving birth to him, and she feels wonderfully uplifted. That's what it sounds like. If anything's going to cheer her up after being kicked out of the Garden of Eden. And incidentally, I will mention parenthetically that according to Rashi, she gives birth even before she gets kicked out of the Garden of Eden, still on the first day. According to almost all the other Mefarshim, this takes place much later. And I'm going to go with the opinion that it takes place much later. It seems to me that she's looking to recreate this relationship with God. The way she does it is by having this child. Everything is great. Now, everything is great except for the brother. I mean, what's with Hevel? Where does Hevel come in? And why is Hevel considered nothingness? Why doesn't Hevel get a proper name? Why isn't Hevel, you know, built up as if being this? Hevel's just his brother. And then something even worse takes place. The pasuk is a little difficult because it says, "V'tosif leledet et achiv et Hevel." Why does it say et achiv et Hevel? V'tosif leledet achiv Hevel. The et seems a little bit extra over here, which is what the Mefarshim point out, and they come and they tell us the following incredible tale. Look at Rashi in source number 4. What does the name mean, et Hashem? Kamo im Hashem. That kaniti isha, right? That she feels she's connected with God. She's with God by virtue of having a child. Kishabara oti et ishi hu levado baranu avobazeh shotfim anu imo. By giving birth, we are partners with God. Which means that if anything's going to cheer up Eve and Adam after being kicked out of the Garden of Eden, it's giving birth to Cain. Cain, now we're partners with God again. Okay, we're not in the Garden of Eden. We got kicked out of that. You know, we were living in a pretty nice place, kicked out of there, but we still have the relationship with God, and that's manifested by Cain. Now look what happened in the next Rashi, still in source 4. Et Cain, et Achiv, et Hevel, shalosh etim ribuyum heim. The three ets over here are coming to teach us something. Milamed shetu ama nolda im Cain, im Hevel noldu shtayim. Lekach nemar vatosaf. What's Rashi saying? It says that she gave birth to et Cain, and then by Hevel it says two times the word et. Vatosaf led et achiv et Hevel. It said et once by Cain, twice by Hevel. Rashi, based on the Medrash, reports to us that Cain and Hevel, from their birth, had something a little different about them. Cain was born with a twin sister. Hevel was born with two twin sisters. Hevel had two, Cain had one, and Cain was not very happy. First of all, Cain's the firstborn. If anything, the firstborn should be empowered to have more. Isn't that what all ancient societies were about? The one who has more power, the one who's older has more power. It's interesting. This sets the tone for the rest of the book of Bereshit. Every single time when you have two brothers in Bereshit, the younger one wins out. Every single time. It's always the younger brother throughout Bereshit. The older brothers are a series of tragedies. Without exception. Now, again, the older brother, I know how, or older sister, the older one always thinks that they're the one who is a bit more equal than the other. But let's even say that they're not more equal. The world should be fair, right? If he's born with one sister, so Hevel should also be born with one sister. How could it be that God messed up and gave Hevel two and him only one? It's just not right. And I'm in the backdrop of all this is, I think that you'll appreciate that if you take it seriously, that there were no other people around, that sister was the one that each one was going to marry. That Cain marries his twin sister, but Hevel gets two. And that's not right. Why does Hevel get two sisters and he only gets one? It's just not fair. But do you remember where Machlokas comes from? Machlokas comes not when you have two things that are very different. Machlokas comes when you have two things that are the same. Or two things that you think should be the same. There was no problem between light and darkness. That's not, no argument can come from there. Those are completely different realms. But Mayim and Mayim, even though one is the Mayim above, the other Mayim is below, that's where Machloket can come in. Cain looks at his brother Hevel and says, we are the same, he is my brother. That's how he identifies him from the beginning. Perhaps that's how his mother identifies him in the beginning, just as his brother. He's not so special, he's just Hevel. He's Cain's brother. But why in the world would God mess up and give him two and give me only one? It's not fair. That is the beginning of the problem. What happens next is also interesting. The pasuk immediately tells us, without even telling anything else about Cain and Hevel, it immediately tells us that Hevel is what? What does he involve himself with? With what? He's a shepherd. He's dealing with the animals. Cain, on the other hand, is dealing with the land, with the Adama. How interesting. What was Adam doing before the curse? What was he doing before he was kicked out of Garden of Eden? Naming the animals. Hevel seems to be going back to where his father was before the sin, before any problems took place. Cain, on the other hand, seems much more practical. God cursed Adam and Eve and all their descendants and said, you're going to have to work for a living. You're going to have to work the land. You're going to have to work the soil. So Cain accepts the task and starts to work the soil. And what's with this Hevel? Hevel thinks he can go back and relate to, you know, the way the world used to be. And then something really terrible happens. Cain's a good farmer and decides to make an offering to God. Hevel also makes an offering to God, and God likes Hevel's offering more. And that's terribly unfair. First of all, it was Cain's idea to give an offering. But Hevel's offering, it seems to be, was pure. Hevel seems to be a purer person to begin with. He's going and dealing back with the world, which is a perfected world, a world before there's any problems with it. And Cain gets terribly depressed. But Yehi Miketz Yamim, Pasuk Gimel, again, Hevel is just doing, you know, he's his brother. He's just following along. He also offers. And God was pleased by the offerings of Hevel. Again, it seemed to have been pure. God wasn't as pleased. And Cain was extremely agitated, and he became depressed. Again, it's not fair. He gives an offering, I give an offering. Why is God favoring Hevel? We are the same, at best. He probably suspects he's a little better, but we're the same. Why should God favor him? Why does God give him two sisters? Why does God like his offering? And what does God answer him? Vayomer Hashem el Cain, lamach karalach? The lamed of lupanecha. Why are you so upset? Why are you so depressed? Halo im tetiv se'ed v'im lo tetiv v'petach atat rovetz ve'elecha teshukato v'atat timshilbo. Very difficult pasuk. What God seems to be saying to Hevel, to Cain is, yeah, there's things pushing you, things getting you depressed, but realize one thing, Cain, this is all completely up to you. You're feeling depressed? Don't worry about anybody else. It's up to you. You can control your anger. You can control your Yetzirah. You can control anything which is pushing you, but it's completely up to you. Well, God's answer seems to be to Hevel, to Cain. Don't worry so much about Hevel. Worry about yourself. Don't worry that I accepted his offering and not yours, that he is too... Don't worry about all that. Just deal with yourself. See, you know what Cain's mistake is? Well, it's a common mistake because all people do it. Is that he's comparing himself to other people. But it's even a little bit worse than that. He's defining himself in terms of other people. Another person he's defining himself with is somebody there's a very strong emotional relationship with, namely his brother. He knows his brother. He knows him well. His brother's no better than he is. And look how God keeps following, favoring his brother. It was almost too much. God gives him advice, tells him, stop paying attention to your brother. I want you to think about this. You know, we say that God is one. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem is Echad. Rabbi Soloveitchik, I heard him say once, that if it were up to him, he would never translate the word Echad in the Shema as one. Rather, because he said, it's not that God is one and not two or not five. He said that God is one. The basic statement of monotheism is a statement of uniqueness, that God is unique. He said, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad means that God is absolutely unique. And then he went one step further and he said, if man is in the image of God, that means that every single person is unique. And the main thing what a person should try to do in their lives is to find their uniqueness within them. See, I won't preach now, but you're at an age, teenage years, little post-teenage years, is at a time that people very often define themselves in terms of what other people do. You get a little bit older, it doesn't seem to be as important. But when you're at a particular age, it's extremely important how other people look at you. You have to wear the right clothes, and you have to wear the right... I mean, just going across the board, we define ourselves in terms of other people. One of the goals of life would be to find out what about us makes us unique. What is there about me that makes me different from other people? Not what is it about me that I can push away the uniqueness and just try to be like everybody else. Where is this uniqueness within me? And if we'll take that one step further, what's love? I'll define it. Love is finding the uniqueness within another person and focusing on it. That's what love is. That's why a parent can love their child and everyone else looks at that kid and says, what a disgusting person. Why does the mother like this kid? The mother sees what's special about this kid. Why? Because it's her kid. Once it's her kid, she's going to have to find something special about him, else she won't be able to love him. To love somebody is to find the uniqueness within them. We can, potentially, we don't want to work that hard. We can potentially love every single person. We just have to look at them, appreciate how they're special, appreciate how we say that each person is a whole world. Appreciate how each person is unique. But as I said, that's hard work. We don't like doing that. And by ourselves, we don't like to work on the things about which are special. But if you think about it, that's why we're on this earth. We're on this earth, each one of us with a mission. Each one of us with something special. Each one of us with something about us that no one else in the world can possibly accomplish or do or be. That's ourselves. Hevel and Cain, two brothers, Hevel and Cain, Cain and Hevel. Cain keeps looking at himself in terms of Hevel. What does it make a difference that Hevel has two sisters? No, that's not right. That's not fair. Why is God accepting his offering and not mine? God says, deal with yourself. Don't deal with him. Which means, in reality, are Cain and Hevel the same or are they different? They're different. But Cain thinks they're the same. And if they're the same, that's where Machloket comes. Mayim and Mayim. Cain thinks it's Mayim and Mayim. Machloket comes into the world. Hevel realizes they're completely different. And then we read the next pasuk and we get to the full tragedy. Pasuk Chet. Vayomer Cain el Hevel Achiv. Vayehi b'yotam b'sadeh v'yokam Cain el Hevel Achiv v'yargehu. What an impossible pasuk. Vayomer Cain el Hevel Achiv. What did he say? Doesn't tell us. It's not important. It's irrelevant. He had nothing to say to him. But why did he engage him in conversation? Vayehi b'yotam b'sadeh. And they're in the field. Where's the field? Who's in control of the field? Is the field where he grows things, or is the field where the animals graze? Which one is the sadeh? What did he say to him? We don't know. Vayokam Cain el Hevel Achiv vayargehu. Cain killed Hevel. It doesn't tell us a word which they said. You know what else is interesting? We don't hear a thing about Hevel. The whole time, nothing but Hevel. We don't know what he said. All that we know is that he's somehow connecting to God the way that it was that his father did in the very beginning. That's all we know about Hevel. But Yomer Hashem El Cain, Ei Hevel Achicha. He says, where is Hevel, your brother? And God is focusing him, your brother. He's special. If anyone should appreciate the specialness of your brother, it's you. If anyone should appreciate, see, that's the thing about a close relative or a close friend. You know what's special about them. But sometimes, despite that, we can't get past it. V'yomer lo yadati, hashomer achi enochi. Am I responsible for my brother? V'yomer osita, what did you do? Kol demei achicha tzoakim alai min adama. One of the most powerful psukim in the entire Chumash. The voice of the blood of your brother are screaming at me from the adama. What's the significance of the Adama? The Adama is what was cursed. The Adama is what he was working on. The blood of your brother has seeped into this ground and is screaming at me from the ground. The earth was cursed once. The earth is going to be cursed again now because of the blood of your brother. Va'ata arurata min Adama. Asher patzta et piya lakachat d'mei achicha miyadecha. Incredible metaphor. The ground, the Adama, will be cursed, which had to open up its mouth and taking the blood of your brother from your hands. And it continues, Ki tavodet adama lo tesifet teit kochalach navenetia ba'aretz. The adama will no longer give to you. What was the first curse? The first curse was you have to work the ground. The second curse now, that was the curse of Adam. The curse to Cain will be, the earth won't even respond to your working to it. You're going to wander the earth. And again, love is about looking at somebody's positive traits, realizing where they're special. The one person in the world you should really know why they're special are the people closest to you. Your brother, you should know why they're special. And focus on what makes them special. Don't compare them to me. I'm not going to say that my brother doesn't do this as well as me. well, my brother does this and it's easier for him. Don't define yourself in terms of somebody else. And that's the problem. This whole scene of Cain and Hevel seems to have played itself out over here, and that's the end of the story. There's nothing more to talk about. But if you look at your watches, I have a little bit more time. And if you look at the sources, we have a couple more sources. So I want to consider something. This term of the earth opening up its mouth occurs one other time in Tanakh. Yeah, let's keep that in mind. Korach. Let's stop. What I started with, in the beginning, the Medrash, talked about the power of Machloket. Right? Machloket comes from looking at two things and saying that they're the same and not realizing the differences. If you look on the next page, in source 6, what was Korach's main complaint? Vayikach Korach ben Yitzhar ben Kahat ben Levi v'tatana v'ariram ben Eliav v'on ben Pelach ben Eruvain. ויקומו לפני משה ואנשים מבני ישראל, 50 ו-200 נשיאי עדה קראו מועד אנשי שם, ויקלו על משה ועל אהרון, ויאמר להם, רב לכם, כי כל העדה כולם קדושים. What's the argument? Every single person in the community is holy. Why are you so special, Moshe? Why do you think we're all the same? Do you see where the argument begins? We are all the same. כי כל עדה כולם קדושים ותוכם השם, ומדוע תתנסו על קהל השם? What's Korach's claim? What's his problem? It's not fair. What's not fair? Why did God pick you and not me? Why did God pick you and not somebody else? Which means Korach's opening argument over here is exactly what we see in the beginning of that Medrash. He says, these are the same. But again, that's the mistake. Mayim and Mayim are the same, and God therefore has to separate them. It's not that God wanted arguments to be in this world, but by distinguishing between two things that are the same, the power from Machloket will come into the world. And it's interesting, because the previous source said, it's also where the power of hell comes into the world. It's also when hell is created. That's not an argument, that's the same thing. Arguments can often lead to hell. Korach uses the same thing. The idea going through Korach's mind is exactly what we see going through Cain's mind. That Cain says, hold it, you got two sisters, I only have one. Korach is saying to Moshe, why do you get to be in charge? Why? And your brother, why does he get to be Kohen Gadol? And what about me? Why don't I get anything? So instead of simply saying that I'm jealous of you and I want what you have, he's a popularist, he's a demagogue, and he goes to the masses, he goes, we're all holy, every single one is just as holy. Why should you be running the show? We should all be running the show. And then he gets people to follow him. But we all see through it. We know what he really is saying over here. He's saying it's not right. It's not fair. Again, Cain doesn't say, if anything, I should have the two sisters. But this bothers him. It's not right. It's not fair. But again, don't you see? It's the same problem. His starting point is that everyone's the same. All people are the same. Everyone should have the exact same opportunity. I mean, despite the United States Constitution, Bill of Rights, Constitution, which one is it? Bill of Rights. All men are created equal. It's not true. I apologize, it's a lie, it's not true. Maybe all people have the same rights, maybe, but not all people are created equal. Some people are more intelligent, they have more capabilities, which just means more responsibility. Some people come from a better economic background, some people are better looking, some people are endowed in one way, some people are endowed in other ways. Don't turn the Bill of Rights, it is the Bill of Rights, correct? Don't turn the Bill of Rights into a philosophy. It's not a philosophy, it's not true philosophically. It's not true in the practical world. And as long as you keep on thinking that we're all the same and therefore I have everything coming to me that's coming to somebody else, it's simply not true. But if we appreciate now, and this is where I want to get to, if we appreciate now that in Korach we see the behavior of Cain, you understand why the Chumash tells us the punishment that Korach gets. Over here, the Chumash tells us, Pasuk Lamed Aleph in Source 7, Pasuk Lamed, Ve'im Briya Yivra Hashem Upatsta Ha'adama Et Pia Ubala Atem Ve'et Kol Asher Lehem Ve'edu Chaim Sha'ola Ve'yadatem Ki Natsu Anashim Ha'ela Et Hashem. What's the punishment for Korach, of course? The earth will open up its mouth and swallow them in. And they're going to go down to Sheol. You know what Sheol is? Another word for hell. Which means here we see it, right here, that first medrash we talked about. Cain kills Hevel, and the blood of Hevel is swallowed up by the earth. Korach comes now and behaves, just like Cain did, and now it's payback time. Midah keneged midah. Now what happens? The earth is going to open up its mouth again. And now it's going to suck up Korach and all the people that are with him. Because they're the ones that are trying to create a machloket. Is Moshe involved in the machloket? No. Which is why in Pirkei Avot, in Source 8 it says, Ko machloket shi l'shem shemayim sofel et kayim. V'she'en l'shem shemayim ein sofel et kayim. Ezu machloket shehu l'shem shemayim zu machloket hilo v'shamay. V'en l'shem shemayim zu machloket Korach v'chol adato. And everyone points out in Pirkei Avos, it doesn't say the machloket of Korach and Moshe, it's the machloket of Korach and his followers, which means Moshe's not involved in it. Where else do you see the exact same thing, somebody not involved in the argument? Hevel. Hevel never says a thing. It says, Cain comes and talks to him, doesn't tell us what he says, and Hevel never answers. Hevel's not even involved in this. What's Hevel trying to do? He's trying to connect straight to God in a pure way before the sin. He doesn't want to be controlled by the manifestations or the ramifications of the sins of his parents. He wants to go back and create to God and to relate to God. He's taking care of the animals just like his father had done. He's not involved in an argument. He has no problem. But nonetheless, Cain has a problem. The machloket is on one side. Over here by Korach, the machloket is on Korach's side, not Moshe. I mean, Moshe was truly modest. You know, it's interesting. What's another way of saying the most modest person? Hevel. He's Hevel. He doesn't think so much of himself. He just sees himself as being a plain person. And now if you want to go one step further. You know, it's always interesting in looking at lives of all sorts of people, but especially religious giants, to look for that moment of a religious metamorphosis. The moment when there's something happens. It happens in people's lives, correct? That something happens that it grabs you and it just changes your life forever. Moshe had such a moment. Moshe was going to grow a lot. But what was the first moment that's it? Once it happened, everything was different. Exactly. Look back on the first page in source number 5. And when I read this now, you'll appreciate the irony. Vayehi biyamim ha'hem, vayagdel Moshe. Moshe is being brought up in the house of Paro. Moshe gets older. Vayatza el echiv, echav. Moshe goes out to his brothers. Are they literally his brothers? But Moshe is seeking out his brothers. It's the exact opposite of the way the Cain acts. Vayetze el echav, vayar b'siv latam. And he sees their pain. Vayar ish mi make ish ivri me echiv. He sees one of his brethren being hurt. Vayifin ko v'cho, vayarki ein ish, vayachet ha-mitzri, v'temeyu b'chol. Interesting, isn't it? The book of Bereishis starts off with the murder. The book of Shemos starts off with the murder. The book of Bereishis starts off with a murder, which is a murder for no good reasons, but because of petty jealousy. The book of Shemos starts off with a murder, which is self-defense, to save a person's life, to save an innocent person. The book of Bereishis starts off when one brother doesn't feel the relationship with his brother. He's jealous of his brother. The book of Shemos starts off with the man who looks at and feels that all these people out there are his brothers. And he feels their pain. And you know what? It would have been the easiest thing in the world for Moshe to go back to the palace and say, okay, that's them and that's me. We're different, okay? But Moshe feels the pain of his brothers. He knows what it's like. Or he tries to understand what it's like. And he commits an act of murder, but I wouldn't call it murder, an act of killing to save his brother's life. Exact opposite. And what I've been leading up to now is quite obvious, but it says it in the sources at least. If you look at number 9 on the second page, this is it's a Hasidic book. He writes, say from Or V'Shemesh, he writes, V'hanira b'zeh v'ita b'sifrei HaKadosh Moshe ho Yagilgil Hevel. And he goes, what appears to me, what seems to me, as it's written in the holy books, that Moshe is actually a Gilgal of Hevel. Source number 10, it's a little more complicated, it's the Zohar, right? Gilgal means reincarnation. The Zohar is a little more complicated. It writes, Bishagam Zehevel. You know what the pasuk is, Bishagam Hu Abasar? That's the pasuk that says that man will only live for 120 years. What does Bishagam mean? Forget what it means. What's Bishagam in Gematria? Moshe. Bishagam is equal to Moshe. Bishagam Zehevel. V'ukmiya kadmai Bishagam de Moshe. Hold it. Is Bishagam Hevel or is Bishagam Moshe? Haven't we learned before that Bishagam is Moshe? Umiyad dechamed atida araita le'etziyave al yadeh. That Hevel, when he saw all the Torah that would be learned or given by Moshe, osifei begina kama karbinin lekud shabrichu, he offered more offerings to God, v'kama tzalutin v'utin, and many more prayers to God, v'do'iu v'tosif l'ledit. And that's, the Zohar says, what it means, that she continued to give birth. That you, the Zohar says something amazing. It says, you know why Hevel was bringing a korban? To offer a prayer for Moshe, who wasn't even born yet. Because it says, because Hevel and Moshe really are one. You see, Kayin and Korach are one, and if Kayin and Korach are one, then Hevel and Moshe become one. Hevel is this person who does feel his brothers, who does feel his brother, but he's never able to show it. The earth swallows up his blood. Moshe begins his career. The first thing that he does, protects his brothers, feels his brothers, has love and empathy for his brothers. Korach, though, comes back, and he's just acting just like Kayin all over again. And here, as I said, it's payback time. By Korach, the earth swallows him up, just like it swallowed up the blood of Hevel all those years ago. And Moshe, he's not even involved in it. He can't even understand. Each person has their own role. What do you want? Moshe never wanted to be leader. As we've seen in the Chumash and we've seen in the Medrash, Moshe didn't want to be leader. But that's what God said. That's what's special about him. That's what's unique about him. That's what his task is. If that's his task, he'll do it as well as possible. What we can conclude, what we see from this parasha, at the very beginning, at the very outset, say almost the dawn of creation, next morning actually of creation, it's after the dawn, it's after Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve were both special. They were both created by God. It's a good reason to feel special. Cain and Hevel, though, were brothers. They were both given birth by Eve. And as much as Eve wanted to say she felt like God by giving birth, felt like a partner with God, she felt it for the first one, but she wasn't able to sustain it for the second one. For Hevel, he just sort of like followed and she didn't pay much attention to him. Hevel was okay with it because Hevel was an extremely modest person. The power of machlokas, the power of argument, is one of the most insidious things which exists. Machloket causes hatred, fights. There are times that I would say in terms of Jewish lore, it's usher to get involved even in machloket l'shem shemayim because there's just too much negative power to it. You told me that love isn't definable. I gave you a definition of love. You look at a person. And any person, you can do it. You look at a person who you don't like, or a person who you feel that you have an argument with, and you feel there's something not fair. And you look at that person, you say, what is there positive about this person? Write a list. There has to be something positive about each person. Every person, something positive about them. If you focus on the positive, and you appreciate the positive, and you appreciate the uniqueness, that takes away the ability of having arguments. Cain never did that. Cain was so wrapped up in himself, all that he can see is his brother, all that he can see that his brother was taking away things that were rightfully his. That second sister should have been his. God's favor should have been his. And that led him to the most horrific act imaginable of murder. What we see then is that machloket is there. Machloket is real. God created it. The power for it is in the world. It doesn't mean we have to give into it. What we have to do is, just like the upper water and the lower waters had different realms, different responsibilities, they did not have to end up in a situation of fighting. And I'll tell you another thing. When a person is happy with what they're doing and they found themselves, they don't seem to argue that much anymore. It's the person who's not happy with himself who feels so jealous of somebody else, and that's where the argument takes place. Two people are fighting bitterly. You know that neither one of them is very happy. Neither one is very satisfied. Learn to be satisfied with ourselves is what God answers to Cain. It's up to you. Don't get carried away. Don't let the Yetzirah control you. You control it. Be happy with what you have. Be yourself. Find the uniqueness within yourself. Find the uniqueness within others. Appreciate others, but appreciate yourself. That will avoid all machlokas, and that would avoid all these terrible things that happen. Unfortunately, it doesn't take place in Bereshis.